right. It's 1952's day. The brilliant Chuck over there on the turntable.
And Jimmy over there not dancing along because he ain't here.
Can you imagine if Jimmy were here? It would be bad. It would be. It'd be bad. This is 40 years before he was born. 40.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. So it's a good thing he's away getting married. We don't need him anyway, really. I mean, maybe we'll let him come back a week, maybe Thursday. I don't know. Anyway, in continuing our conversation today about our disgust
how much Rob Manfred sucks,
how much we hate Rob Manfred and all the owners in Major League Baseball, who better to join us now? No one than our pal Wick Terrell, Red Reporter. Once again, best follow on Twitter, always makes me laugh. The great Wick Terrell. Hi, pal.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Yeah. You can follow him too at Wick Terrell. That's Terrell. All right. We're opening the microphone to you because people have already heard how disgusted we are with that lying creep, Rob Manfred. Did you happen to see him on Greeny last night? Did you see his little lie fest?
No, I didn't watch it. No. I read the transcript after.
Okay,
the fact.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah. You know, it's how to describe it.
Feel free.
You go back to the early '90s when Steve Vincent was basically fired by MLB owners. He got a vote of no confidence. In part, it was because he acted as more of an arbiter between the union and owners than the owners wanted.
Right.
And so they fired him. The owners want a commissioner who is basically their figurehead, who is their voice. And in that regard, that's what Rob Manfred is. And so for me, you look back at some of the really idiotic things he suggested and implemented over the last handful of years anyway, I'm not sure he's great at actually the baseball aspect of it. But for me, it's hard to kind of focus the blame solely on him for the decisions that the owners are making when it's reality. It's the owners that are making these calls. It's
right.
The owners in the bottom line, which is what he's been tasked to do because that's what they want the MLB commissioner to be. And so for me, it's one part frustration with the man and another part frustration with the job title because baseball needs a commissioner that isn't a figurehead of the owners.
Yeah.
If the owners want a figurehead, have one, that's fine, but there needs to be an independent third party who actually is in charge of the betterment of the game, and there's not right now. And in a scenario where that could be the single most beneficial thing to the future of the sport, we're lacking, and that's where we're stuck at this point. And it's about the most dang frustrating thing I've ever been through in covering this sport.
Yeah, well, when Wick Terrell, Sean, uses the word dang,
yeah,
it's bad. You know that something's
up. Are in a bad way.
Yeah. And, you know, I watched him last night, and I was angry while he was speaking. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. His garbage about that the union, you know, is in bad faith with the health protocols and the blah, blah, and all the crap and all that stuff. When we just spoke with Emilio about this, the only thing that should matter is how do we get back on the field? How can we do it? Okay, this is, you give a little here, we'll give a little here, and just let's do this. And it's just, it really is amazing to me, Wick, that they don't understand the gravity of this situation.
Yeah, no, that's 100% the case. And the gravity of the situation, just to kind of spell it out in plain terms, is that what? The collective bargaining agreement expires next year, and we know they're going to have to do this again. You know, regardless of what they do this year, you know that these two groups that have shown very publicly they cannot find any sort of middle ground.
Right.
A pandemic aside, are going to have this same exact negotiation at some point between now and the end of next year. So it's like we're seeing it play out with 2020 as the underlying season. But in reality, this is the future of the sport. You know, this is the next 8, 10, 12 years of baseball. And you know that argument and that discussion is going to have to happen. And they can't even get through this one first without showing their butts, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's going to happen again for not just this year, but for the next decade of baseball, it's really hard to envision the same leadership being involved on one, if not both sides, to have this again this time next year when they've shown that they have no ability whatsoever to direct it this year.
It'll be worse next year. This is just for this special time in America right now. Next year's will be, well, we've seen it. We saw it in 81, we saw it in 94, and this will be much worse even than those two. You said, here's another, you always do this. You always put something on Twitter that when, I think Sean's the same way, when just when you think I've thought of all the kind of variables about this, I haven't thought of this one. And you said, trying not to think about which current players might not ever suit up again if this year and a strike combined to take the game of baseball out of commission for any kind of period of time. And it's true. Yeah. We don't think about that. There's guys that may not get a chance to play anymore.
People on the back end of their career. Andrew McCutchen jumped into my head just like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, guys like Albert Pujols and Nelson Cruz is still dominating the game of baseball, but he turns 40 this year. You know, if baseball is gone this year and then they strike at some point, have we seen the end of him? It's remarkable how much you look up, and 71 games, I think, is roughly where we would be in this season. That's 71 games that we've lost from player careers. And it doesn't look like they're getting close to getting any of those back at this point, too. So, yeah, it's, you know, obviously as a fan of Joey Votto, who's under contract long enough where I think we'll see him at some point down the road somewhere. But he turns 37 in September, and to lose out on what looked on paper to not just be a good team, but perhaps the best team that he's been on in 8-10 years, if not ever, to lose out on that, it's like we're going to feel frustrated about this for decades beyond this, especially when you start digging back through the numbers and whatnot, too.
Yeah. Here's the next tweet you had, which this is my favorite idea about the whole thing. One plate appearance, Rob Manfred pitches to Tony Clark for all the marbles with a Z. I love that idea. Love it.
Well, so obviously, you know, the comedy of it there is you know, it would be fun because Tony Clark had a very, you know, successful and lengthy professional career.
Yes.
But the underlying point is that, yeah, I feel like the baseball commissioner should have some sort of at least wherewithal whatsoever of how to play the game. You know, and I'm not saying that been a baseball player to be Major League Baseball commissioner. But just to think about the concept of it and what it is they're arguing over.
Yeah.
You know, a $10 billion business, and you put those two just in the context of the game of baseball, and it's like, yeah, that's not even a match. What the heck? You feel like the commissioner should have at least some aura about him that it doesn't sound like it's a completely one-sided argument.
No. He never even played Strat-O-Matic, Rob Manfred. He has no clue about the actual game of baseball. Ridiculous. All right. I want to turn our attention now. Or do we just keep going, just bash Manfred and the owners for...
Okay. Move on.
All right. You talk
we'll
about...
We'll move back, trust me.
Okay.
we'll come back around.
No, good point. Talk to us a little bit about the Reds. They've signed 5 undrafted free agents so far. 4 of them are pitchers, and you say they're good ones. All of them college seniors. Hopefully, sometime in the future, we may actually get to see these guys, right?
Yeah, you know, the fact that they're college seniors, I think, is pertinent, because, you know, with the undrafted free agent cap being set at just $20,000, and I think I was talking last night with someone else, I think the average round draft pick bonus from last year's draft was several hundred thousand dollars. So, you know, guys that are basically coming in as the 6th, 7th, 8th picks, so to speak, are being signed undrafted wise, and you can just tell the financial hit they're taking. Guys that are juniors or high school players aren't going to take $20,000 because they'll wait it out and figure out next year or the year after that to hopefully get back to the bonuses that were before.
So right.
These are guys that don't have a lot of leverage. That doesn't mean they're not good players. It just means they might be overlooked a little bit. And plenty of college seniors have gone on to be prolific baseball players at the big league level. But yeah, a couple guys in there look like they've got some pretty good talent. Carson Spears from Clemson comes from a long line of Spears. I think his dad, his grandfather both played for Clemson and Stars. His uncle Bill spent 13 years in the big leagues. Was Clemson's closer for the last couple of years.
Wow.
He posted great numbers his entire time there. Not an overpowering guy, but he sits 93-94. But really just kind of a gamer in the bullpen who I think is just kind of destined to be a big league reliever at some point. So, yeah, finding some good value there. The question is, though, you know, they didn't play anything at all this spring when the season got canceled. There are no minor league seasons to send these guys out to right now.
Right.
So who the heck knows what's going to happen with all these players, where they're going to go, and what they're going to look like this year, much less next year, because for this draft class, it's about as up in the air as it ever has been for anyone coming into the league.
I want to ask you something. So they signed, just this time, they could sign an undrafted free agent for $20,000. How long does that last? Like, they signed for $20,000, but let's say somehow they get to play minor league ball in the next year. Are they still? How long is that $20,000 supposed to be for before they can sign an actual, what we would consider an actual contract?
Well, so in theory, they would be getting an actual contract once they sign that. That's their signing bonus. And in theory, that means that the team has team control over them. It depends on their age. All these guys being college seniors, I think that means they've got roughly 5 years of team control before they could declare themselves minor league free agents.
Yeah.
So in theory, that means that the Reds would have to release them at some point in that 5 years for them to latch on with some other team. But yeah, it's kind of, at this point, it's a little bit so crazily restructured, and we don't know how many minor league affiliates are actually going to come back after this.
Yeah.
When they were talking about cutting up to 40 of them at some point before this pandemic even started. So it's weird. It's going to be very, very weird. A lot of individual workouts. For sure. But the one thing about this, and noting that four of them were pitchers, the Reds did sign Kyle Bodie of Thriveline Baseball to be their kind of pitching guru. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him kind of almost working directly with a lot of these guys immediately when they can't get back on the field under a team name, but working out on the side just to kind of improve what it is that they bring to the table.
I'm so depressed right now. I really am. I'm just depressed.
It's hard to think objectively about baseball right now, and that's a very frustrating reality, because every time you do, you just inevitably come back to, when the heck are they going to play?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And is it ever going to look like it did before? So it's hard to project on that also. So it's a weird time.
So deep in your gut, do they play baseball at all in 2020?
Let's see. Rob Manfred said 5 days ago 100%. Then he said last night he's not confident.
Yeah,
If the commissioner is having that much of a waffle, I have no idea. You know, I'm leaning more towards no today than I think I ever have at any point during this, unfortunately.
That's what's so depressing about this. We've been on this emotional roller coaster for a while now, and you know, but I'll tell you, it was almost when Rob Manfred said 100% we'll have baseball, my first reaction was, this is bad. This is really bad.
Yeah, never speak in absolutes, because you often don't mean them.
Well, the frustrating part about it is that he's got the ability to create a season that was given to him in the March agreement that the two sides came to. So he's citing the agreement in March. It gives him the ability to do it as if that was a valid agreement, but then he's also representing owners in their conflict with the Players Association because they don't think that agreement's valid enough to pay them their full prorated salaries.
So
everything about it is just, it's
hypocritical.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, let's turn it to something that might be brighter. I'm not sure how you're going to feel about this one. Your Gunners, Arsenal, get back in action tomorrow, Wednesday, up against Manchester City.
Yeah, that's a good way to start. Right back.
Yeah, easy.
You know, Pep came out publicly saying he doesn't think City's ready for the slate of games that they're going to get hit with immediately after starting things back up, which probably tells me they're raring to go and the best team on the planet.
4-0. 4-0.
But the Galarceta Arsenal's most recently appointed coach was Pep's right-hand man for the last several years at City. If ever there was any sort of inside information that Arsenal might be able to use to maybe squeak one out, he might give them that. But they're running out of time to salvage this season, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you know what? You're an Arsenal fan. You're a Gunners fan. it almost doesn't matter. They're playing tomorrow. They're playing an actual league game tomorrow.
I got my jersey out and ready. I'll be glued to the TV watching.
Pictures.
Down 3-0.
We want pictures.
You're watching until they're down 3-0?
Yeah, so maybe 17 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll be watching too, and we'll talk to you next week. And I don't know. Maybe we'll be jumping up and down and saying there's baseball, there's baseball. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll both be excited about a Premier League win.
Sooner or later, we got to get excited about the 2021 Reds, right? Can we turn our attention yet?
Oh, Lord. Okay, goodbye. It was great talking to you.
Bye, guys.
See you.
See you, Wick.
Wick Terrell.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we have him, though, because he always makes it fun. And
yeah,
always...
at least, you know, a baseball catastrophe is fun with Wick Terrell. I almost said another combined made-up word.
Yeah.
Caught myself, though.
I don't know what it would have been, but I knew it was coming. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little golf with my buddy Curtis Mitchell, the head honcho of the great Lexington Parks and Rec golf courses that we love so much here. They had an announcement this morning. And if you play golf, this is pretty cool. I'm signing up.
Are you?
I am. I'm going to sign up. Curtis, actually, when I talked to him earlier today, he said, this is good. You could win a city championship.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough money to bribe anybody to do that, but we'll see. All right. It's The Drive on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.